And our first guest, let's just jump right in here with Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. Audrey, happy Saturday. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Saturday. How are you?
Good. Normally we get to hang out in person in the studio, but you know I'm at the United Center ahead of the game. And so we had you call on in today. And we're going to talk a little bit about DCFS. It's a topic you and I have covered pretty extensively over the years that you've been on this program. Just to kind of reset things, Audrey, can you explain just like 30,000 level feet, like what does DCF do? How are they funded?
Right. So they're funded through the states. It's a statewide organization with offices throughout the Illinois. A lot are in the northern part, obviously, due to popularity or population. And so DCFS is a state investigation agency that investigates allegations of abuse or neglect towards children or minors, anyone that are 17 age and younger.
And there's a variety of outcomes that can come from them coming to your door. It starts as an investigation, but they do have the power to take the kids from your home if they feel like they're in an unsafe environment.
That's correct. So one of their things, unfortunately, they are the branch of the government that are allowed to remove children from a home. So they can remove a child from a home if they feel that the child isn't safe there. And then they take not only that child, but any other child in the household. Or if there's an allegation and the kids are at school during school hours, they can just take the children from school and not have the parents know until later in the day when they're able to reach them.
Right. And you and I have talked a lot about what to do in those situations. Maybe we'll get to that again at the end. But I think every conversation we have, we make a point that DCFS workers are often demonized by a lot of people, but they are very short-staffed. I mean, it's well-documented, Audrey, right, that they do not have a ton of resources to – they're not fully equipped to handle maybe everything that they need to handle in maybe as diligent or detailed a way as we'd ideally like them to be. Is that a fair assessment?
That is. Unfortunately, I think it's just stress and job burnout. There's a huge turnover rate for the – child welfare investigators or the caseworker that comes to your house or school to investigate these. So there's a significant turnover. But unfortunately, the number of allegations reported to DCFS still is increasing every year more and more. So with caseworkers that just can't handle the stress or just because of the significant volume of cases, there's just a larger caseload, a larger geographic area for caseworkers to cover, that they just can't investigate them as quickly as the administrative code and law requires them to.
Oh, wait. Before we get to the funding thing, I didn't realize that the number of cases was going up and up. Is that surprising to you? Why is that?
I don't know if people are more willing to call DCFS when they suspect something as opposed to waiting, presuming that someone else would do it. I don't know if it's because of an increase of those that are in jobs that are mandated reporters, such as coaches, teachers, medical staff, school, things like that. But, yeah, it does seem, just based on some research, that the numbers are increasing, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it is people more willing to call. And I think we should probably applaud that, right? The idea that if you see something, call and say something. Like, we applaud that, generally speaking. But, of course, those can maybe lead to calls that were maybe done with all well-meaning but didn't turn out to be anything substantial. And now you've used a caseworker for a couple hours that person could have been somewhere else. So it is a double-edged sword.
It definitely is a double-edged sword. Like, a lot of times a child will go to school or daycare if they're so little and there might be a bruise, a cut, or something on a child. And so daycare workers, school, they're mandated to call if there's an injury on a child. But it's really not abuse or neglect by a parent, but rather maybe just a child as a toddler learning to walk and they fell into something. Or a kid learning to ride a bicycle, or, you know, fifth, sixth graders doing daredevil stunts on skateboards or bicycles. So they injure themselves just truly by an accident, no neglect of an adult or a guardian. But yet it gets reported, and so caseworkers do. They unfortunately have to investigate every allegation reported. So it does take up their time to go to school, to the house, to track down everyone, to talk to doctors and school to see what's going on, whereas there could be a family that truly needs more attention that the time is getting taken away from.
Right. And again, if we had unlimited resources, you know, you'd want everyone calling for things that they see, right? At the end of the day, I think the vast, vast, vast majority of us just want the kids to be safe and be able to be raised in their homes with their parents. unfortunately, obviously, there are situations where that's not the case. But okay, if we want people to report more, if we want these mandated reporters, then that seems great. The funding should back that up a little bit, and the hiring should back that up. Has it so far, Audrey?
Well, I think that's, there's only a finite amount of money and individuals who are willing to take these types of jobs. It's a huge risk to people that are investigators. They're going to a home that they've never been to before. It may be a volatile situation that they're walking into. They usually go, the caseworker, by themselves. Sometimes if they have time to do a quick background check or reach out to the police department, they can see if there's a history of violence in the home. But sometimes even something unexpected could occur. So a caseworker is risking their life sometimes to go into a house without realizing it. And it's just, it's difficult because if you're placing resources to the Department of Children and Family Services, it's getting taken from some other pot. And so what happens to that organization or agency? And I know Pritzker did sign a bill adding tens of millions of dollars for the fiscal year that I believe begins in July in capital grants for housing. But it still takes time to find qualified people who are willing to go and stick it out for the amount of time that it's required.
Yeah, you bring up a great point there. Yeah, in his annual State of the State budget address last month, he proposed adding $76 million for the fiscal year in July 1, which would be about 392 additional workers to support the caseloads. And that all sounds great, but you still have to have the bodies in there to do it. And as we've seen across industries all over the place, we still are struggling to find workers. There's so many job openings. That's painting with a little bit of a broad brush, of course. Some people can't find work in what they want to do, but there are job openings. And this is not a work-from-home job, right, Audrey? It's way different than a police officer, but it's a first responder in some ways, right? You have to show up. You have to be present, and it's stressful.
Oh, absolutely. So there's a caseworker on call. There's many of them, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So when a call comes in, if it's that serious enough, a caseworker is supposed to go out, regardless of if it's Christmas Eve, Easter Sunday morning, anytime, 4th of July, they're required to go to the home to check this out. So not only do you have your regular caseload Monday through Friday, you're also on call, it rotates, of course, but you're also on call for weeks at a time where you're working, hypothetically, 24 hours a day where you can get called out. And for some counties or locations, they don't have that type of resource. They don't have sufficient employees. They get burnt out from working a week on in addition to their caseload, be on call in perhaps smaller counties, mid to downstate.
Yeah. 773 texted in, by the way, that child abuse and neglect reports going up perhaps because during COVID, kids were not as visible to the public. They're back in school, the after-school programs. Maybe problems are more evident to mandated reporters. Boy, that's a great point. I'm sure that is part of the equation, too. And I don't know why this thought didn't come up during COVID, but how many kids, unfortunately, weren't seen by mandated reporters who were stuck in the home in potentially terrible situations, Audrey?
Right, that's really a good point because a lot of kids were doing Zoom, so you can only see so much through a computer screen that you can set up to
right.
Make it look like it's fine, but you don't know how the child is doing otherwise, or infants that aren't going to school yet, or you can't go to home to see if there's heat or furnace working, if there's food in the pantries and the cabinets. That's a very good point. So that's always an issue also during the school holidays and school breaks as well.
As our listeners know, Audrey, you worked in the state's attorney's office for a long time. Now you work as a defense attorney. You must get involved in DCFS cases and have on both sides of the equation there. And I'm sure there, just like every job, there are some people that are not as good at their job as others. So I'm not going to say every DCFS caseworker is doing a stellar job or just trying to do their best. But Audrey, just from your interactions with that agency, is that your vibe, that for the most part, they are well-meaning people trying to do a good job?
Oh, absolutely. They realize the seriousness of what could happen if they can't do their job. And they do try to take their time to go to a house and explain to parents, even if they know that the allegations could be unfounded, meaning that there isn't evidence to support abuse and neglect because it's an accident or a one-time situation. Like it was a one-time domestic violence between the parents and the home. So they don't want to necessarily indicate a parent, but they take the time to explain everything. Or if a child gets injured, by accident, to just explain what's a good sleep or what's good ways to hold a child or bathe a child. So they absolutely care, because there's no way these people would want to work these kind of crazy hours with the stress that they have to undergo, realizing if they miss something, a child could potentially die.
Which has happened, of course, and that's been under huge scrutiny over the past few years. Audrey, is there like a set threshold for what would lead to a kid being taken out of the house? We don't have to go into too many details. I don't want to be too upsetting here, but like, is there, or is it up to the caseworker? Do you kind of see what I'm asking here? Like, is there like a rubric where they X, Y, and Z means we're taking you out?
There are certain guidelines for the caseworker, but it really is kind of subjective and their experience. So it could be the number of times that a caseworker has responded to a home, because it's not always the same caseworker that gets the initial call or the investigation, but they can see in their computer system how many times the family has been involved in DCFS for responding because there's a fight between parents or a parent that may have an alcohol or substance abuse issue. So, you know, if they've gone 3 or 4 times because the parents have domestics or situations where a domestic occurs just between parents, then the caseworker may say, you know, it's just not a healthy environment for the child to remove them. Obviously, if a child has significant injuries, a broken bone, that child, as well as any other child in the home, automatically get taken until DCFS sorts out if it truly was an accident, a mistake, or if it was something that could have been prevented by a parent and is actually abuse and neglect.
Yeah. And I think, like, most people probably nod along to the idea of, yeah, if you see a broken bone in a kid, let's get them out of the house just to be safe rather than sorry, and we can kind of figure it out later. But if it truly is an accident, what a harrowing experience for the parents who have their kid taken away from them, right? Like, I know that maybe the default to do that makes sense, but in the reality of just how kids are and what happens, that's scary for parents, too, if they've truly done nothing wrong.
Right, absolutely. I mean, two kids could just be horsing around. A parent could literally be right there watching them, and a kid trip and fall and break a leg in an unusual way, just by a complete fluke. So DCFS swoops in at the hospital, removes the children first. So even if your child is young, that's traumatic because they don't understand what's going on. If they don't have family members that are appropriate to keep them, then they go to complete strangers. I mean, their foster parents have been screened by DCFS, but complete strangers in a completely different town, perhaps, a different environment, and they don't get to see or talk to their parents for weeks or months at a time. That's traumatic for everyone involved till they figure out what really happened.
I just want to make sure we provide some clarity to people, because we're not saying that if you take your kid to the hospital with a broken bone from falling or from sports, that they're immediately getting taken out of the home or anything like that, right? We still want to go get the aid you need. This is not, DCFS is not in every hospital waiting for kids with injuries and taking them out of homes.
Oh, correct. Absolutely. Right. So you definitely do want to make sure your child is examined at urgent care, immediate care, the emergency room, because that's what they need. Even if you have questions, to call your child's pediatrician just to make sure. It just depends on the situation itself and how explainable it seems to the medical staff at the time.
Yeah, because it's in those situations where you're going to an emergency, the medical staff will clearly have some questions for the parents, what happened, and they kind of make an assessment. And if they have the spidey senses or something's wrong, they then will call DCFS. I just wanted to make sure we aren't saying if a kid breaks a bone, they're not going to go home with you, which I think most parents get. But, 50,000-watt station here, we should probably make sure. Audrey, other thoughts that you have on this extra funding? I imagine this, you would say that, obviously we could have a policy debate about where money should be spent, but hopefully we'll help improve the system.
Right, definitely. So I know that it's part of the $76.2 million for this includes for hiring new workers, but they still need to be trained. And then there's additional, I think, $100 million or so for Campbell grants for building houses or facilities to have minors who are removed from their parents because of special needs like mental health, physical issues that are aggressive and they can't stay with a traditional foster family. That unfortunately takes time. So even though Governor Pritzker is obviously doing what he believes is best to help the situation, it may not have immediate effects. Like, it won't change anything starting in August. I think it might take years before we can see any effect whatsoever, unfortunately.
Right. And it was an interesting Tribune article kind of highlighting the people who go to job fairs looking to get DCFS jobs. A lot of times it is former first responders who want a different calling. And, you know, if that's something you're interested in, and, you know, we've talked about how stressful the job is, so I hope we haven't scared anyone away from it, Audrey, because it can be rewarding work, too.
Right. It's absolutely rewarding to know that you have a family that you've helped become happy and healthy together, to see that you're making a difference, or just understanding that it was a mistake and the information you provide to a parent truly can change that family. So it's absolutely rewarding. And what's great to know is there aren't really age restrictions like law enforcement where you have to be in your 20s or 30s. It can be older caseworkers who can help, and not just necessarily caseworkers, but it can also just be office staff that are there to support the caseworkers that are out in the field. So there are a lot of opportunities, and it's great that DCFS is trying to get the word out there.
Audrey Anderson is from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. Her number is 630-877-5800. She doesn't only do juveniles, but she does do juvenile defense. She does adults as well. Anything in that range of anything. If you've been charged with a crime or you're being investigated or something, call Audrey Anderson, 630-877-5800. Thanks, Audrey. Always good to chat with you.
It's always great. Thank you for inviting me.